Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday. I was, until I got out of my car to walk up the stairs and into this room.
Yes.
Because, as I mentioned in passing yesterday, I got stuck in the car wash over the weekend. And it had been, I want to say, like a month or so since I had gotten my car washed. It feels good when you get your car washed, right? It feels good. And then as I exited my vehicle, I noticed that a gang of birds must have crapped all over my hood.
Where did you park? Did you park under a tree?
I don't know when it would have happened.
Oh, wow.
In my driveway.
Yeah.
I went out to lunch with my wife today. Maybe that's when the birds attacked.
I'm sure it did.
I don't know.
But it was on your hood.
Yes, all
you
over the hood.
So it had to have happened. You didn't realize it when you went to lunch with your wife?
I wasn't paying attention that close.
Oh, okay.
I had the baby, too.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you know.
That is distracting.
Yes.
Well, they got
babies
you.
Are very distracting.
Very much so. Chalk it up to the game, man. They got you. They zeroed in on your car. They knew it was clean. And bam.
This is what I think happened for those of you who are longtime listeners of this program. I think the turkey that Willie nearly decapitated on the way to Portland last year.
Yeah.
Talked to some birds and said, hey, go crap on this car.
They got a hit out on both of
y'all. Receipts.
So that's why I have all these birds in my backyard doing this. Yeah.
I told you a long time ago they were going to have a hit out on you. They put you two guys' pictures are
word
in
travels.
There. Yeah. It word
by
travels.
Air.
Very swiftly.
Yes. Apparently, Trevor Maddich will join the program today at 4:20. We've got a lot to discuss with Trevor and amongst ourselves about the latest and the Brandon Sorsby story. So we will do that throughout the program and with Trevor Maddich at 4:20. Jeff Marek will join the program at 5 as we discuss the hiring of Chris McFarland by the Nashville Predators. We'll look ahead to tonight's Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. So looking forward to catching up with Jeff. But we begin today's show with last night's game in the NBA Finals, the San Antonio Spurs in a must-win game, effectively a must-win game, because no team has ever rebounded from a 3-0 series deficit in NBA history. The Spurs go into Madison Square Garden. The Stars were out last night in New York City. The Spurs win 115-111. Victor Wembanyama, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. And I am glad that the Spurs won because, frankly, I want more of this series. Plus, once the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final are over, sports gets real boring for a while. So I want these two series to go the distance. But last night's game was a good one. Schoolyard rules last night at Madison Square Garden.
It was bad. It was bad.
They've got to do something. Yeah. They've got to do something. It's just not... They've let it go too far, and now it's to the point where, like, it's still a great competition. There were still great plays, but there are wrestling matches going on all over the court. All over the court.
Yeah. It's a physical brand of basketball that we have not seen in a very long time. I think the last time I've seen this brand of basketball is when the Detroit Pistons won their last championship with Rasheed Wallace and all those guys. And you saw this physical brand of basketball. And even then, the NBA really didn't like it because they want to keep their superstars healthy. And when you're playing a brand of basketball like that, sometimes that's not going to happen. But they let that first half. They were playing at the Rucker. They might as well have been playing at the Rucker.
Yeah.
That's just how physical. And my thing was, if you're going to allow the game to be physical like that, you have to rein it into to a degree. But if you're going to just let it ride the whole game. But it seemed like the second half, somebody got in their ear was like, hey, listen, it's getting a little testy out there. We need to slow this down. And they started calling fouls. So, listen, I'm sure that's one of the hardest jobs. It has to be the hardest officiating job out there because, you know, you're up close with these guys and, you know, it's sort of like how do you call fouls on Shaq, you know,
or
how do you
call fouls on Wimby? Because it's so hard to officiate a unique player like a Shaq, and now Wemby is the same way. It's like you can't just let him do whatever, or you're never going to be able to stop him. So you can see how it evolves. It's like we have to be as physical as we can possibly be. Mm-hmm. As long as they let us get away with it, keep doing it. Like they're trying to wrestle him, basically. Like even when he doesn't have the ball, when he's on the other side of the court.
Up.
They're grabbing him with two arms. And he has no choice but to try to combat it. That's why there was so much scuttlebutt over his.
I think he's going to get fined for that play.
He might, but if you look, why is he doing that? It's because Brunson has his jersey. He's reached underneath and he's got a fistful of his jersey.
Yeah, you got
so it's like get off of me.
It's like, but he ain't have to
not
push
calling
him in the
it.
Back of the head, and he basically elbowed a man, pushed him in the back.
You know
of
who
the
really
head.
Defended him?
Who?
Shaq.
Oh, yeah,
at halftime, because Shaq's been there. It's like, look, if you're going to keep doing this, I have to have some checks and balances here.
Yeah, and that's why I say
I can't
have
just let
to
you come and grab me and do this. That's not basketball.
But they have to figure out a way to officiate this game, whereas, okay, if you're going to allow them to be physical then, because San Antonio was doing the same thing. They were grabbing, pulling, you know, pushing. And so if you're going to allow that to happen, then let it go. Don't all of a sudden start making these calls in the second half and everybody's looking like, man, you're changing the whole tenor of the game. You're slowing it down, whereas before it was up and down. But either way, it was a great game. And like you, Adam, I want to see this thing go seven. I wouldn't feel bad if the Knicks won in six, but I would love to see it go seven.
One of my least favorite things is when a coach whines about free throw disparity. And that's what Mike Brown did last night after the game. The Spurs outshot the Knicks from the free throw line in the second half, I believe, 24-8. For some reason, that always bothers me when a coach complains about free throw disparity.
That's just gamesmanship. Every great coach does it, especially if the discrepancy is as it was the last night. With free throws, every coach from Phil Jackson to the coach in Gold State,
Steve Kerr,
they all do it, especially if they lost the game and they feel, okay, we didn't play well, we could have played better. That team played really well too. But they try to look for those little things that they know may tilt the scale just a tad bit the
next
game.
Looking for some calls
exactly,
the next game. No
absolutely.
Question.
So it's just games. I don't mind it. It's games and shit.
Adam, you would have loved this. This is my favorite story to tell as far as free throw discrepancy. And some Vanderbilt fans might remember this game. They probably do. 1990-91, Rick Pitino and Kentucky, right as he's getting Kentucky going, right? This is his second year at Kentucky. They're still on probation, but they have a really good team. They've got Jamal Mashburn, and they've got the guys who have their names and numbers up in the rafters. They lost the Christian Laettner game the next year when they were back in the tournament. Richie Farmer, John Pelfrey, who became a head coach for a long time, Sean Woods, and Darren Feldhaus. Those are the four. So it's a really good team. We beat them at Memorial Gym, and we were crushing them. They were a pressing team, so they got behind. The free throws at the end of the game. Vanderbilt 51. Kentucky 7. Rick Pitino at the end of the game, two tees, got tossed, and after the game, he whined like a baby. I've never seen that in my whole coaching career. 51 free throws for one team, 7 the other. Our coach is hearing all this. He goes to the podium, Eddie Fogler, and he says, look, we got ahead. We were up by 17 or 18 points. They press. They foul. We go to the free throw line. I mean, it was the flow of the game. Kentucky used to play and force the referee to call fouls. It's kind of like last night, right? They would see they played 10 guys. They would press you the whole game, trap you. They would see how many turnovers they could get, and they were willing to risk fouls to get the turnovers. But on our court, we handled the ball well, and we were the opposite. We were taught the worst thing you can do is foul. So we tried not to foul. So this was the perfect storm. And man, it was awesome watching Pitino walk all the way from his end of the bench. You know, the bench is on the baseline. He has to walk all the way across to get back. And man, did he get serenaded by the crowd on the way out. But he whined like a baby, 51-7.
The other thing I was watching last night as I was watching the game was all of the celebrities at courtside. I kept watching Larry David. By the way, yes. Larry David seated two seats from Robert Kraft.
Yes.
That was a strange.
Were they in the same group? Or
it did not appear they were in the same group.
And who was the guy in between them? I was trying to figure that out. Did anybody know?
I'll have to look at the pictures.
I couldn't picture him.
But the famous Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry David is sitting courtside at a Lakers game. He stretches out his legs, trips Shaquille O'Neal, injures his knee. I was waiting for that moment to happen. Shaq, of course, in the building last night with the ESPN crew. But I was watching Larry David, Mariska Hargitay, and Christopher Maloney from Law & Order. They were very animated. So I was just watching the celebrities. I found myself distracted by the celebrities at courtside, all of the cheering and gesticulating, where's my bell, that they were doing. That was very distracting.
My favorite, my childhood idol, John McEnroe, was there. They showed him and Patti Smyth, the singer. She was in Scandal. She was a good singer for a while. That was awesome. I was like, that's my guy, Johnny Mac.
I wonder how they pick who's going to sit in those seats. Because I'm sure the celebrities that were out there, I'm sure there were many more that wanted those seats. Now, I'm sure guys like Spike Lee and, you know, guys that are New York guys, they they will get first dibs.
Tracy Morgan, Stiller, Chalamet, exactly. New York guys, they get first dibs.
But
Eli Manning was sitting next to Derek Jeter,
right?
I think.
Yeah. So did they add more seats? Well, how did they get all these people in here?
I don't know. And they have all the former Knicks.
Exactly.
Right?
And all the former Knicks were there.
There was the issue.
Remember, Larry Johnson.
Luke Kornet goes in to get the ball coming out of the basket, and he clips Josh Hart. Uh-huh. Hart goes down and acts like he's dead.
Yes.
And Luke's going, well, I didn't do anything. You know. And then the next thing you know, here comes John Starks out of the stands. He's standing right under the basket. I was like, that's John Starks. John, you haven't played in 30 years. Go back and rest.
Man, you're going to tear an ACL. Oh, my goodness, man. Yeah, that game brought out the stars, and I'm sure they enjoyed it until the last buzzer.
One texter, Jackson, says, don't know if you noticed, DJ Khaled was on his phone the entire game.
Yeah, well, that's the worst. Exactly. You cannot do that and be on your phone. You can't do that.
Enjoy the game. Enjoy the moment.
And now we have a feud, apparently, between the president and Stephen A. Smith. So thank you for that.
Really glad that is happening. Nobody wants to hear you.
So glad that is happening.
But can we ask one more question though about Robert Kraft? Like, okay,
yes.
Why is he
a Knicks fan?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
He's a Celtics guy.
Yeah.
Or did you just say I want to be at the game and I'll pay whatever I got to pay?
Or somebody that was going that is a Knicks fan invited him.
Yeah, I'd love to know the story on that. Yeah, like Patriots fans or Celtics fans have got to be going, what? What's he doing there?
Does he know the owner?
Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe he and Dolan.
I don't know.
You know?
Well, Dolan had the president in his box. So perhaps Kraft would have been there otherwise.
Exactly.
So Kraft had to be ushered to courtside instead. Yes. You can't sit in the owner's box. You've got to sit
courtside.
But something about Larry David and Robert Kraft seated right next to each other with one person in between seems like some sort of bit. I was trying to think of some sort of wild Curb Your Enthusiasm style bit involving Larry David two seats down from Robert Kraft.
I wonder who else was sort of like an odd mix of people sitting next to each other. I may go back just to watch the sideline view and see some.
Oh, man, it's fascinating.
Some people, why is this person sitting next to this person? Are they a part of that group?
But you have to give the Spurs a lot of credit for dealing with that whole environment and coming out of the gate with a lot of poise, and that was the key, I thought. It was to get off to the good start.
Man, Castle shot the lights out.
Yeah.
Man, that first half. He basically kept San Antonio rolling by himself. The New York Knicks didn't shoot well, especially from three-pointer. Bridges got in early foul trouble. He had to go sit down with two fouls early in the first quarter. So that took away your some of your three-point shooting, and he never seemed to get into rhythm, really, not like he had been. So it's going to be a really good season. I don't think Karl Anthony Towns played great like he had been playing the previous two games. He looked a little tired. He didn't take many shots, but still, he looked a little tired. So hopefully, I'm sure the Knicks hope they can have the Karl Anthony Towns back that played the first two games, because they're asking him to be extremely physical with Wimby, which is wearing Wimby down, but is wearing Karl Anthony Towns down as well.
One texter says, do y'all know if Luke Kornet is kin to that Kornet lady on Channel 4? Yes, Luke Kornet is Tracy Kornet's son.
They are related.
Yes.
I like how Luke was like, man, what'd I do? I wanted to help you up, but then I was like, nah, but what'd I do?
He's mad. Why are you mad?
Exactly. And then when I watched him, like, he didn't even push you. Dude, seriously. But that was funny.
Andrew says, new curb plot from last night. Larry David sneezes during the game just as a peanut vendor walks by. Larry sneezes on the ground. Peanut guy trips. Peanuts go flying onto court. Wemby slips on one and gets injured for the rest of the series. Larry is coveted as a hero in New York, but gets a lifetime ban from the city of San Antonio.
That is, yes, that would that's work. That's a good
that's
one.
That's an episode.
Bum.
That's a good series.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the NBA Finals. Spurs win last night. Game 4 tomorrow?
Yeah.
At Madison Square Garden. So we'll see if the Spurs can tie it up at MSG tomorrow. But coming up next, the biggest story in sports right now, Brendan Sorsby. He received a temporary injunction despite having a gambling addiction. What does the Brendan Sorsby ruling say about the state of the NCAA? We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025 today. The Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35 p.m. Catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina.
College sports went to DEF CON 1 yesterday, Greeny, and that's rare because the sport has gone so low in so many different circumstances. But everyone but Texas Tech officials were in unanimous agreement that this is one of the worst rulings, because it forget the whether college players get paid and all the things that go along with it. This is about the integrity of what happens on a Saturday afternoon. And Brendan Sorsby bet on games while he was at Indiana. Remember, he went to Cincinnati. He is a transfer. He has not played a down for Texas Tech, and they maintain they haven't done anything wrong. They sent him to rehab. It's a great example for the youth of America, and you can stop laughing now over your cornflakes. But the point is, what happens now?
That was Paul Feinbaum earlier today on ESPN talking about Brendan Sorsby. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. All right, here are the facts of the case. Yesterday, a local judge in Texas granted an injunction to allow Brendan Sorsby to play next season, despite years of gambling activity, including placing bets on his own team, that ended with him entering inpatient treatment for a gambling addiction. Sorsby admitted to wagering at least $90,000 on more than 9,000 bets over the course of his college career, including at least 40 bets totaling at least $850 on Indiana football in some capacity when he was a member of the Hoosiers. I can't remember, gentlemen, the last time the sports commentariat was completely aligned on something. I read some scathing columns, and I love a scathing column. I like writing scathing columns. I like reading scathing columns. As I said, everybody seems to be completely aligned on this. In no world should Brendan Sorsby be able to play college football this season. And yet, for the time being, It appears he will. So here's the question, Willie Donick. What does the Brendan Sorsby ruling say about the state of the NCAA?
This one, I think, would fall out of the reach of blaming the NCAA. I don't really know what they could have done differently, because what has happened is the strategy has become, if you don't like the rules, just go to a court, find the right judge, and get an injunction. And that's the distinction, is you don't even have to win the case. You just have to delay the case. And that is what they've successfully done. Now, we'll see between now and the start of the regular season with the outrage, and it's rightful outrage. And like you said, it's across the board. I haven't seen one person say, yeah, you know, I agree with the judge. There's zero outside of Lubbock, right? I even have to wonder if the Texas Tech people are going, oh, boy, I didn't think they were going to say that. Like, I don't think they were expecting to win that case. But that's the strategy. So this is a rare time where people aren't turning and saying, oh, there's another case of the NCAA not having it together. This wasn't their fault, I don't think.
No, the NBA, I mean, you can't blame the NBA, I mean, the NCAA, for what, you know, this judge decided to do. The rules were in place, and they have not bent that rule for anyone, not that I recall. That's one rule, I think, across the board, like y'all said, is unanimous. You bet on college, or you bet, period, in college, then you are subject and more than likely will be suspended for the whole season. But for some reason, now it's different. The rules have changed. You know, judges, it's like, you know, you being married and your kid comes in. The one thing you tell your kid not to do, he does it. And you and your spouse put him on punishment. But then he goes to his grandfather. And his grandfather says, you know what? He's not on punishment, you know, because if he was staying in his room, he wouldn't be around us. That'd mess up, right. Mess with him mentally. And he just won't become. And then all of a sudden, now he gets to come out of his room. It's like, no, we can't do that. There are rules in the house. If you lie, that's one rule. If you lie, you're done. You're on punishment for whatever, how many weeks or days. You then can't circumvent us and go to granddad and him decide, okay, he's off punishment. You know, let us talk about it. But until we talk about it and get what we need to get together, you can go down to little Jimmy's house and play Nintendo all day. No.
That is I think, what a lot of people have made the first point, is there was no disputing the facts of the case and no disputing what the rules were. It's not like anybody goes to a college campus and says, you know, I don't know what the rule is. I don't know. Am I allowed to gamble? Well, I'm not sure, but I'm just going to go ahead and start gambling. That's not the case. Everybody knows you can't do it. Just like in baseball, when Pete Rose got banned for life, he knew that it was in every clubhouse of every big league park and minor league park. If you bet on bet on baseball, you're out. Lifetime ban, and it's no in between. That was the case with the NCAA. You cannot bet on football. It's a clear open and shut case. And this judge, that's what was baffling. He doesn't go there. You know, he went to, like, what you were
Texas.
Saying. You know,
he went to Texas.
Well, I mean, but in his decision,
yeah,
he was talking about, well, he's going to miss out on this and that. That's so not the point.
No. He never mentioned.
Integrity of the game is everything. You cannot watch a sporting event and say, you know, I wonder what's going on. I wonder if anybody's got some action on this, or I wonder if this game on the level. Like, we've been fortunate in our lifetimes to really not watch games and wonder, even though conspiracy theorists will always wonder. There's always that game going, well, was the ref on the take or something? Like, there's no, somebody will always make a wisecrack about that. But by and large, when we watch games, we don't question whether it's on the level or not, like a pro wrestling match or something like that, right? There's a distinction. And when you rule in his favor like that, you are compromising the distinction. There was one unnamed coach in an article I saw that said, hey, you know what we ought to do? We should, as a team, now that this has been legalized and this is okay, let's just decide what games we want to play hard on and what games we want to lose, and let's all bet based on that.
I have the quote in front of me, by the way. This was from Dan Wetzel's column on ESPN.com from, quote, "in a gassed," where's the bell? A lot of bells so far today. Mm-hmm. "In a gassed Big 12 coach. Quote, if this is the precedent, then I owe it to my players to bring in people from Las Vegas to teach us how to gamble. Then collectively, we need to decide which games we will play hard in to cover the spread and which ones we won't. I'm supposed to do what's best for my players, and in that case, they would be able to make a lot of money betting on our games. That's the precedent for me." End quote.
Okay. There's a problem here. There's a problem in college sports, period. But there's a problem, and then there are symptoms of that problem. Sorsby is the symptom of the problem. He is. The problem is when you allow betting to become a big sponsor of what you're doing, you've opened yourself up for something. It doesn't excuse him for what he did. He doesn't need to be playing. But he's just a symptom of the actual disease. And the disease is, we want more money, so we're going to get in bed with all of these sports. And student athletes, y'all can't bet. Y'all can't do any of these things, but we're going to reap the rewards of it. And now, you know, the players are to an extent with this NIL stuff. But what I'm saying is that the disease is you allowing them in your door. And now because you allowed that vampire in your door, now he's bit you. And now this is what you get, Sorsby.
But that's all the more reason why, if you're going to have that, you have to crack down hard.
Exactly.
And they did, so that's why it's not the NCAA's fault. But it's like Dan Wetzel does some great stuff in his. I think he's got the best one that I've seen.
Do you think they believed anybody would ever challenge like that rule the NCAA?
I think they're getting used to the fact that a lot of people were just going to find a judge, right? Kirby Smart was talking about that in his case for the SEC to break away from everybody because he's tired of not having any rules, because if you don't like the rule, just go find a judge is really what's happening a lot. So Dan Wetzel, I think, does a really good job. He said there's literally only one league in the world that is now has this precedent that you can get away with betting on your team, and that's the NCAA, thanks to this one judge. That's unanimous across the globe. You know, you cannot in any sport anywhere in the world. Everybody knows that if you want to have a level sporting event, it's got to be gamble-free, and there have to be serious consequences if you are caught.
Eli says, which booster paid this judge off? By the way, the original judge in this case recused himself because he has 2 degrees from Texas Tech. The judge who oversaw the case is a retired judge from Fort Worth who has degrees from UT Arlington and the University of Houston Law Center. So it is what it is, just stating the facts. Here was another quote from Kansas State Athletic Director Gene Taylor to Yahoo Sports that caught my attention. Quote, it's effing bull, you know what, except he did not censor
fertilizer.
Himself. Yeah. Yes, it's effing bull, you know what. I know the kid has a problem. Well, get well and focus on your problem. It is absolutely devastating for him to be able to play when every other sport, no matter the level, deems an athlete ineligible or they are punished severely for betting on their team, end quote. And there have been reports that Georgia and Nebraska have instructed their athletic departments to refrain from scheduling Texas Tech. Reportedly, the Big Ten also scheduled a meeting to discuss not playing Texas Tech. I wonder if it goes that far. Do people refuse to play Texas Tech?
It's a credibility thing. Now, I don't know if somebody else at your university is betting on games. I don't know. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be associated. If we play y'all and it comes out that one of your teammates bet on the game, we don't want to be associated with y'all. Since y'all want to do this, then we're gonna go back and we're going to think very long about whether we should participate in sports with you guys.
I think Texas Tech does deserve a lot of the blame for this, because I think it's been speculated, and I don't know if it's been proven, but obviously Texas Tech helped Sorsby get the legal team that he's got. I don't know if they're actually paying the lawyers to make the case, but Texas Tech could take the high road and say, you know what, this kid's got a problem. Mm-hmm. We want to win football games just like everybody else does, but this isn't right. He needs to take some time away. This isn't right that he's playing. So I think everybody else is just so angry they want to do something. I don't know if it makes any sense to say don't schedule Texas Tech. I don't know how that's going to work, but I do think they've got to stay loud and they've got to put the heat on Texas Tech collectively in one form or another. I don't know if they found the right way. I think that's where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. But everybody has got to gang up on Texas Tech and say, do the right thing here.
Well, the university.
A guy that has gambled on football mm-hmm. should not be eligible to play. That's the NCAA rule. Abide by the NCAA rule. You're in the NCAA. I know a judge did this or that, but you could separate that and do what's right. And everybody knows here what's right.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if Texas Tech is going to do anything. I think it's basically, and one of the texters said it, it's the boosters. It's those that are putting the money into the NIL coffers. And if they decide to say, hey, we don't want this kid to play, that's when he will not play. It ain't up to the athletic director nor the president. Because if you supersede those guys and girls, ain't no more money coming through that pipe
stream. What
about
the coach? Could the coach just say, you know what, Brendan, I admire that you won.
It's the same thing.
You can practice with us, but we're not going to play you.
He got to convince those big money boosters that, hey, listen, it would be better for this program if he doesn't play. Because they could have nipped this in the bud a long time ago, Texas Tech.
Yes.
They could have just said, you know what, he's been caught cheating. We are suspending him, period. We're just suspending him. He can't come back from this. We are kicking him out of school because he violated a rule, and we have that right. But they chose not to do it.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to Brendan Sorsby, for the time being eligible to play despite acknowledging that he had or has a gambling problem and bet on his own team. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025. The gang, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, talking Brendan Sorsby. A lot of reaction. We'll get to it now. 615-737-1025. Let's start on our phone line with TC in Smyrna. TC, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I'm going to be real quick. I side with the teams that are looking at possibly not playing Texas Tech for three quick reasons. One is, if they decide, I don't think they'll go all the way through it, but if they do, now you have Fox and ESPN will now probably upset because of TV situation. They will probably then talk to the president or the commissioner of the Big 12. Also, they can then petition the NCAA under that extraordinary circumstances. We don't want to play them. And most likely NCAA is going to side with them because they lost. And then thirdly, the NCAA can just say, okay, Texas State, you can play, you can have them, but you're not going to be eligible for the playoffs. You can play them. So there's pressure to be put on them. And I think I like the teams ganging up on them and not playing, because I think it will work. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, TC. Your last idea,
I like the last one.
Your last idea was something that Brian Fisher wrote about for Sports Illustrated. He suggested that the College Football Playoff Committee needs to say that any games Texas Tech plays with Sorsby under center will not be considered by the selection committee when evaluating a team for the playoff. Mm-hmm. Is that a reasonable step?
I think it is. I think you have to take – this is one of those, like the caller said, this is one of those extraordinary circumstances where, you know, basically there's one person that is opposed to this. Well, it's more than that because it's Sorsby's team. But one person, meaning the judge, that thinks that this young man should play. Okay, all right, if you say he can play, then now we're going to determine whether we are going to allow – you know, their season. You could play your season, because we've seen it with teams that basically, you know, SMU went through it for a long time. Even when they came back, they were still on suspension.
Yeah, it took them a while to get
exactly.
Back up.
There was another football, I think Auburn one year, You know, they were on suspension. They got to play, but
they went undefeated one year and could not be on TV and played an entire 11-game season where they were ineligible for a bowl and could not be on TV.
Exactly. So my thing is, we can do the same thing to Texas Tech. Remove them from all, you know, platforms as far as watching them on television. You cannot watch them on cable or any other streaming service you have. If they are playing someone, that game will be blacked out. And then you take further steps to put the pressure on those at Texas Tech to make the right decision.
Rick says, I'm about to come in the YouTube chat and set Willie and his holier-than-thou attitude straight. Just let me just go ahead and tell Willie now. If Pete Rose didn't bet against his team, there was nothing unethical about what he did. Diana Russini was more unethical. Thank you for your attention to this matter. I'm not really sure I understand it, but...
Did he hear somebody wrong or not?
Well, we have a philosophical disagreement. Mm-hmm. There are some people out there, he's not alone, that think if you're betting on your team, it's not a big deal. I think that is way, way off. That's way, way off. And I think if you think it through, if you're betting on your team, what about the games that you're not betting? Are you looking at those games differently? It just opens up all of this can of worms. I just don't buy that. And it's a very simple, hard, fast rule. And I would take it a step further to this listener. You may not like the rule. You might believe what you believe. I don't like every rule that's in sports. But you know what? When you choose to play, you play by the rules. And there is no mistaking this rule. And that's really the issue. And that was the issue for Pete Rose. It didn't matter. It didn't say on the side in front of every clubhouse and locker room, you cannot bet on baseball, period. If you do, you're banned for life. That's what the sign said. It didn't say, well, if you only bet on your team, that's okay. No, it didn't say that.
But still, you can – I really don't understand when, you know, people, well, he bet on his team. Okay, if that's your argument, he still can manipulate that game, even if he's betting on them to win.
Yes.
Because what if the coach make a call that I just want to down the ball and I don't want – but the point spread. No, I'm going to try to throw a touchdown now. You are affecting the game in a way that's beneficial for you. So even if you are betting on your team, you have a way of manipulating what you want to happen.
Nate says, everything goes back to the NCAA. If they originally fairly compensated players years ago, maybe Sorsby wouldn't have been tempted to bet in the first place.
Everybody has their blame to this, but it doesn't absolve him from what he did. He knew the rules. We thought was concrete. You couldn't penetrate this rule. Whatever strongest element out there, that's what this was supposed to be. Until Judge Curry comes in and decides he wants to be Superman and break through it all. Essentially what he did.
Do you expect Brendan Sorsby to play in week 3 for Texas Tech? Or do you think something happens that prevents him from playing?
It all depends on because the NCAA is going to, you know, fight this, so they say. The problem is how it could take a long time. This can be slow moving. So they're going to try to come in and stop this. But my thing is, how quickly is the courts going to want to see this case?
A Texas court scheduled his trial against the NCAA for February 8th, 2027, 2 weeks after the college football national championship game.
That's the strategy. Uh-huh. And even if they scheduled it for October 15th, they would do everything legally to just push it back from his side. So there has to be outrage by everybody to pressure Texas Tech into doing the right thing. That's the only recourse that they have. And so it's how much will Texas Tech just ignore the good of the game? The good of the game. Mm-hmm. They know. There's not a dispute. It's not like the kid saying, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Promise you. I promise I didn't make those bets. It's a fact. We know he made the bets. The rule is clear. So either you're abiding by the rules as a school or you're not. Forget about the legal part.
He made a lot of bets, too.
How many bets? 9,000?
He made a lot of bets.
The number of money gambled was what? 90,000?
90,000, yes. Yeah. And he had friends making bets on his behalf.
And that, too.
He clearly had a problem.
That, too, should say you're never going to play this sport at this level ever again, because you went so far to involve your friends and had them do your betting and had to send them money that you were getting from NIL, supposedly. So if you're just looking at that, it's like, man, you knew exactly what you were doing was wrong. Yeah, you went and got help, and you're going to continue to get help, but you don't get help outside of not playing. You know, not playing is your punishment. You getting help, that's the remedy.
Well, now he can't play against Abilene Christian.
Yeah,
so
I guess he did.
I also think, in all and seriousness, I do think it's a fair thing to throw at Texas Tech. Internally, I hope that there's a voice or two in there saying, is anybody looking out for Brendan Sorsby, the person? Because he has a serious addiction. It's obvious. So you can't tell me that he is the one guy that is a miracle cure that has kicked this habit in 35 days or whatever he was in that program. It is an ongoing thing. So is it the best thing for him to be playing while he has just come out of identifying that he's got a problem, admitting he's got a problem? Is anybody talking about that in Texas Tech? Or is it, hey, when can he play? He can really throw. This is good. Get him out there. When's practice?
I wonder how the teammates feel about this. And I'm sure that they're going to try to insulate the other guys as much as they can. But I'm wondering how they feel about it. You know, if you're walking in that locker room and you don't know if your quarterback is on the take, you know, now everybody's going to be questioning high balls. They're going to be questioning everything he does moving forward.
Yeah. Neil says, are you only betting on your team to win? I don't have an issue with that. If you bet to lose, that's how you can fix the game.
The issue is you have a way of manipulating the game, period. What if you're losing and the coach calls one play and you're like, no, I'm calling this play? You have manipulated the game because you're betting on your team to win. It doesn't matter if it's your team or not.
And also, there were some prop bets that he made too, and that is also – Let's take the Cleveland Guardians last year. Two pitchers vanished, including an all-star, Emmanuel Clase, one of the best closers in the game. He didn't fix games. He didn't bet on his team to lose. He made prop bets of whether the first pitch he threw would be a ball or a strike, and so he intentionally threw a ball in some cases. He hadn't pitched since. He's gone. Gone. So there were some prop bets that Sorsby did. I don't know the specifics of them, but that's another thing, like you said. He's not betting on them to lose, but if you're betting the quarterback's going to throw for a certain amount of yards or the running back, that's manipulation. That is fixing the game.
615-737-1025. We will get back into Brendan Sorsby with Trevor Maddich during the 4 o'clock hour. Very curious to hear what Trevor has to say about all of this. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, people are back to bellyaching about something involving the Tennessee Titans. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.